This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
It's not unusual for Donald Trump to go after a late night host, but this one was wild, even by his standards. Just before 2 a.m., he jumped on Truth Social to call Seth Meyers talentless, childish, and even suggested he'd definitely be finding out about Meyers' NBC contract. Well, the strange part is apparently there's no contract negotiation going on right now. Meyers' deal runs until 2028. So why is the president losing sleep over a comedian?
Gender, sexuality, and pop culture. There isn't much Lauren Rosewarne doesn't know. And if she doesn't, we'll make
it up. Good afternoon, Lauren Rosewarne.
Hello, Warren. Thanks for having me.
Let's start with the obvious. What stood out to you about this 2 a.m. rant?
Yeah, so but obviously this is somebody who doesn't sleep normal hours, but also doesn't have normal responses to things. And this is indicative of Trump's long, you know, basically the entirety of his time in politics has always been actually underscored by his problems with comedians making fun of him. If you think back to the correspondence dinner where Obama made a joke about Trump, which was referencing Trump's birtherism conspiracy. A lot of people point to that moment and say that was when Trump decided to run for president. And he took it so personally. And this idea of taking the jokes of late night comics personally seems to be something that he can't shake off. Whereas most, you know, it's like the big sin in Australia is if you can't laugh at yourself, you're going to, then now we've got new grounds to criticise you on. Trump doesn't seem to be able to laugh at himself very much.
Do you think there's some sort of political calculation, though, behind targeting comedians?
So we've already seen he feels that he had a hand in getting Stephen Colbert's show ending next year. Now, so he feels that that's his handiwork. Now, whether that's true or not depends on how you read a whole lot of the stuff happening in the background, including the lawsuit that CBS had with Trump. But suffice to say, Trump feels if he puts pressure on networks, he can have a hand in manipulating their content, which is obviously should disturb a lot of people because this is the hallmark of what happens in non-democracies. And the fact that Seth Meyers is on NBC, and that's, you know, it's not like it's the ABC. These are all private companies. They get to have the host that they want. And Seth Meyers' contract, as you mentioned in the opening, goes through till 2028. So the idea that somehow Trump feels he can manipulate this situation is indicative of him flexing his muscles and trying to see. It's a testing the waters thing of how much people will put up with as well in terms of his interference into the private conduct of businesses, which we've seen in lots of different ways. This is just one example.
I think something that scares me about it is the language he used. Like, I'll definitely be finding out. Almost sounds like a threat in referring to the contract. I mean, how should we interpret that?
Oh, it's absolutely a threat. Yeah, it's absolutely a threat. But it's also in the sense of, again, so much of, and this is around the world, not just an American thing, so much about when we think of the decorum of a leader is very much just about precedent and what has gone before. And Trump's basically thrown that playbook out. So things that we'd consider to be uncouth or even just a real no-no in terms of interference, Trump doesn't care because what are the limits on his power? He basically said in the Oval Office either yesterday or the day before, I'm president, I get to do what I want. And this is part of that. Now, whether anything comes of it, NBC at the end of the day are a business and Seth Meyers wins his time slot. It's a late night time slot, but he still wins it. What could Trump actually do to bring about the end of him? I mean, it seems like there'd have to be some sort of litigation that would see NBC fearful of having to make a massive payout. And I just don't see that in this particular case.
We're speaking with Associate Professor Lauren Rosewarne from the University of Melbourne about Donald Trump's late night rant attacking Seth Meyers. Lauren, but he also did float the idea of taking away broadcast licenses from networks like NBC and ABC. I mean, that feels like scary territory. How seriously should we take that? And can
very
he do that?
Scary territory. It's unlikely that he'd be able to do it in the way that he's saying. But if you look at how CBS was able to be sued by him, and part of that background to the Colbert sacking, or at least the ending of the Colbert contract, was about this idea of one network wanting to buy another and Trump having to give permission for that. That's the kind of thing where he can wield power. It's less about a broadcasting license, because it's not as though, at least in my understanding, you'd have to have a reason to deny a broadcasting license, because it can't be on the grounds of perceived bias, because then, well, hang on, how does a network like Fox operate? When clearly their bias was something to the tune of, what was it, $700 billion in fines for election misinformation. So I can't see bias being a grounds of being able to withhold a license. So there'd have to be some sort of other ground. It couldn't just be at the discretion of a president. But I say that in the same breath as we know, again, Trump is very good at flexing his muscles, and it doesn't seem that the courts are very inclined to rein him in as much as he needs to be reined in.
Now, Lauren, you mentioned, you know, Seth Meyers does have a late night time slot that he does win in terms of the ratings. Do these shows, is there enough viewers to still shape public opinion, or is it just down to Trump taking offence still?
Yeah, I mean, if there was enough, how did Trump get elected the second time? If there was enough power in these shows, you know, I mean, I think they're understood as highly influential in the, you know, it's often considered a young and urban demographic, right? So they're influential on them. But is that enough to win an election? I mean, I think for those of us who are in a bubble of watching these kind of shows and paying very, you know, strong attention to what they're covering, Trump winning again was completely unthinkable, and yet it happened.
Yeah, it did too. Could this behaviour, could it backfire for Trump, you know, make him look petty, or does it play well
again,
into his base?
Though, to who? And this is always my concern, is his supporters love a culture war. And they're the ones who have already, for a really, really, really long time, seen these kind of shows as woke and as the enemy. So the idea of Trump, even if he does nothing about it formally, the idea of him sort of dissing them and sort of mocking those shows and threatening to fire the host, it plays to his base, who already see these people as the liberal elite. They're not watching these shows, and therefore, again, who does Trump lose out on? It's ironic in the way that a lot of the stuff Trump does, you'd think ideologically his supporter base should not like it. They're the ones who are constantly talking about freedom of speech, yet clearly this is about Trump trying to crack down on it. But it's freedom of speech for his folks, not for everybody.
Lauren, I was going to... I had another question for you. I was going to ask. I'll ask you anyway, but I feel like part of me just wants to put it through the shredder. I wish I had a shredding machine sound here now. But should we be worried?
You need a sound effects artist.
Should we be worried about what this says about Trump's priorities, focusing on comedians instead of bigger issues? Here it goes.
But this has always been but this has always been Trump, hasn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, why is he interested in this? Why half of the weird stuff is he interested in? And partly the answer to that is actually he is a creature of the media. Mm. We can never, ever forget he came to prominence from a television show where he played a successful businessman, not was a successful businessman, played one. And I always say this, as much as I hate complimenting at him, he is masterful at manipulating the media, getting us to talk about him and getting us to be distracted from other issues that are happening not only around the world, but are happening under his administration, because the media loves to report on itself.
Good publicity for the late night show.
Yeah, but again, one could argue these shows have capped their capacity to grow an audience, right? So, and nowadays there's so much competition, it's hard to make money from late night. So this is the only sort of thing we've got to keep in mind in the background. Legacy shows that once upon a time dominated pop culture have less and less impact now, because we're watching TV in lots of different places.
Lauren, always love our chats. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you next week.
I look forward to it. Thanks, Warren.
That's Associate Professor Lauren Rosewarne from the University of Melbourne.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.